This is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
And we are back. It's been a good night so far, Joe, hasn't it?
It has. Food, great talk.
Richard, of course, stepped out for half a moment. But
I get to hang out with you.
You get to hang out. And the Attorney General, Martha Coakley, who is on the line. Attorney General, how are you?
Hey, Kevin. I'm great. How are you?
I have to say, it's been a while since you and I have chatted. I miss the days when you would, like once a month, you and I would have a conversation in the morning.
Thursday mornings. I miss it, Kevin. And I'm delighted to be with you tonight.
Well, just so you know who some of the folks are, I mean, we've got an all-star cast of co-hosts. I have Joe Rossi, who I was just chatting with a moment ago.
Hi, Joe.
Hi, how are you?
And Mr. Richard Rosen, who is a local business owner.
Nice to see you. So does that mean, Kevin, you need help to do this at night, but you can do it by yourself in the morning?
Well, let's. Don't forget, I went from AM to FM.
That explains it.
So I have a little bit more that's entailed, but it's always fun with having other folks be part of the conversation.
Exactly. No, and you deserve it. So I'm glad to be chatting with you tonight. That's terrific.
Well, we want to congratulate you not only for doing a fantastic job as an attorney general, but throwing your hat in the ring and making a run for governor.
Well, it's something I thought about long and hard and decided that, I thought, given what I've done in the past as district attorney and attorney general and given the great opportunities for Massachusetts ahead, as well as the challenges, I thought it was something I would ask voters to let me try. So I've been having a great time on the trail so far. We've been all over the state. We crisscrossed. We did a bunch of parades this weekend. This is the month, of course, of St. Patrick's Day, and last month was caucuses, and it's been really good, and there's great, interesting stuff going on all over Massachusetts.
What are you hearing from the voters? What are you hearing as you're crisscrossing the Commonwealth and speaking to voters?
Well, people, I think, are cautiously optimistic that the economy is slowly getting better, or at least it's not getting worse. I think when you get outside Boston, it's a little bit slower in parts of the state. I grew up in Berkshire County, of course. I spent time in Merrimack County and down in the South Coast and go out to Worcester, Springfield. But I do think people feel that there's an opportunity here. If we can keep businesses growing and we can keep our folks, prepared to take these jobs, so it's both improving our schools and having better workforce development. But there's still a lot of people who are worrying about paying their mortgages and worried about, getting back to work. And so we still have some work to do here in Massachusetts.
Attorney General, as Attorney General, what are some of the bigger issues that you're dealing with right now in the state?
Well, we continue to try and work to keep healthcare costs down. And we're working in our energy division, obviously, to try and make sure we look at the ratepayer advocate role that we do to keep energy costs down. That's an issue both for consumers, obviously, for individual consumers, but for businesses. As you might know, we're involved in some human trafficking cases. We just returned an indictment today, and we got our first conviction on the statute that got passed last January. We continue to work with the legislature on a variety of issues. We obviously have budget season coming up. We continue to do our consumer protection work. And if anybody is having trouble with their mortgage, they can call our office, call our home core. There's a lot of things that are going on. We just did some work with a show called Flip in Boston that's going to be aired in April around one of the homes in Medford that we have done a rehab on. If anybody watches that show, I urge them to take a look at it. They're very funny guys who do that show, and we were happy to participate with them. We take a lot of the houses that have been abandoned, copper stripped, and we do the legal work to get them into receivership, and then we work with folks to try and get the work done to get them back to be tax-paying homes and houses on the in our cities and towns.
And I would also like to thank you. Mm-hmm. You and I met back in September at the flood insurance rally we had in Scituate. I'm chair of the Marshfield Coastal Coalition, and I know your leadership role in addressing some of the flood insurance and FEMA issues going on in the state as well.
Well, and I remember that very well, that it was a beautiful day down there, and there are a lot of folks who had just gotten their first notices that their flood mortgage insurance was going to go up in some cases by a factor of 10.
Yes.
You know, if they were paying $600, their bill had gone up to $6,000. And we heard from small business owners and residents who said, we just can't afford this. We're not going to be able to sell our homes. We heard from realtors. And so, and I must give credit to your representatives, Representative Jim Cantwell and several other of your representatives in the area have done a great job, I think, in putting pressure both with our federal delegation and actually getting some good results, that they've agreed to put off this for a year at least, and I think they're also undertaking to take a look at the models that projected those increased costs and take a look. I think we can show that in many cases they weren't based upon good evidence, and the costs that were going to be imposed on homeowners just weren't fair. So we're going to keep working on that with your senators and representatives, as well as our federal delegation.
How bittersweet is it that, you know, leaving behind the Attorney General's job, which I think you've done a fantastic job in excelling in a number of areas, to moving on? Do you any kind of a backwards glance as to who might possibly end up in that office? Are you focused on the road ahead as far as the gubernatorial race?
Well, look, I feel that we've got some good people running for all of the open constitutional offices. Look, we've got good people running for governor. We've got some great candidates for lieutenant governor.
Yep.
There are folks who've thrown their hats in the ring for AG and also for treasurer. And I think Massachusetts has some very good choices ahead. And look, that includes Democrats. We've got independents. We've got Republicans. I just hope that voters will, you know, pay attention. I think it's critical who is the next governor. It's critical who is going to take on the role of attorney general. And I don't just say that because I'm the attorney general now. It's always been a very important office in Massachusetts. And I hope that voters will get involved and ask about the issues, tell us the things they're concerned about. I know I spent a lot of time talking to folks about, as you asked earlier, Kevin, you know, what are you concerned about? What do we need to be doing? What advice would you give to the next governor? And obviously, you know, they want their roads repaired. We need to do better with transportation. We want better schools. And I hope that they will pick the folks for all of those jobs who will help Massachusetts keep moving ahead at this time when we have a great opportunity with our growing businesses to keep moving ahead, to provide good health care. And particularly, one of the things I've been interested in is making sure that we have good mental health care. And I actually released a plan today, but also released a video. If anybody's interested, can check on our website. My sister, my younger sister Mary and I have done some talking, and we went on television today
this morning
to talk about our younger brother who committed suicide 18 months ago,
right.
18 years ago, after years and years of fighting depression and bipolar.
Yeah, I saw you on Channel 25 this morning. You both did an excellent job.
Thank you.
How are you, Madam Attorney General? This is Richard Rosen from Whitman.
Hi, Richard. How are you? Good, thank you.
It's good. Good to hear you. You know, Richard Rosen from McGuigan's Pub, that I'm not sure if you made the connection, but we're trying to get you to come to Whitman, to McGuigan's Pub.
And I've been to Whitman, and I intend to come back to McGuigan's Pub.
And we appreciate that. Attorney General, I have a question. You know, before I came down to the studio tonight, I was opening some mail and my health insurance bill was in it. And my policy has the term expiration. It ends in at the end of March, so my new policy starts in April. So there's several of us on the policy. The rates have almost doubled from last year. It's unbelievable. What can be done, or what are your thoughts with respect to the health insurance and the rates that us small business people pay?
See, and that does not quite sound right to me. I feel bad if that's what has happened. I know that one of the things we have tried to do is we haven't been able to lower rates, but we've tried to cut the rate at which they've been growing, and frankly, it's been 8 to 10% a year for the last several years, which is one of the reasons that the legislature and Governor Romney wanted to do the reform around health care. Most of the time, I think we have seen in the last 2 years that we've tried to slow that rate of growth. So I'm surprised to hear that it's doubled. And frankly, if I were you, I would go back to the insurance company and agency or whoever's doing the insurance and get an explanation for that.
Well, what they're telling me, excuse me, is we were paying $400 an employee a month, but we added a couple of people that were older. And they're telling me because the average age went up, they have the ability to raise the price. So our policy went from $400 a person to $700 a person. And what they're telling me, and I knew this was coming because we've been asking, and they're telling me it's because the average age went up dramatically, meaning that I had a 28-year-old person and a 40-year-old person, and we added two 60-year-old people.
Uh-huh.
So,
well, I mean, there are the issues around the way insurance companies determine those rates. One of the reasons that we wanted everybody insured was that we wanted some of the younger folks who don't necessarily put as much demand on the system in the pool also, because this is all done statistically. I don't have a good answer for that other than to say that, you know, companies are allowed to look at their, you know, the rates and what they see the use of medical care is, depending upon your age. And one of the things that the new policies do, though, particularly with the federal, is say you can't avoid insuring people even if they have a pre-existing condition. And we are supposed to be providing coverage for everybody. I know that both healthcare and energy costs are huge, particularly for small businesses. And looking at what you're able to provide for employees, you know, we've made this decision as a state that we're going to provide access to everybody. We want good healthcare. Obviously, people want those choices. But it is true that the rates that you pay will vary depending upon, you know, the size of your employment, the size of your number of employees, and obviously what they have told you in terms of what they think the risk of cost is depending upon the age.
I guess I would ask you, here on the South Shore, and I think around the Commonwealth, probably couple of the biggest issues, I believe, is issues with drug addiction and violent crimes that are usually tied in with drugs. What does the next elected officials into the House and the Senate need to do in order to tighten up things on gun control and try to get a handle on the problems we have with drug addiction, whether it's heroin or prescription drugs?
Well, and it's interesting. I was doing something earlier today, and I ran into now Senator Catherine Clark and Sheriff Peter Katusian, who were talking exactly about this issue of particularly opiate addiction and heroin addiction. And certainly the sheriff has said he sees too many people in his house of correction, you know, who have either mental health issues and or drug and alcohol problems. And it doesn't mean that they don't have other behavioral problems that make them dangerous, but they're also conditions that we need to deal with. We've seen an increase in people using prescription drugs, but then become addicted to OxyContin, who then can't afford it, who turn to heroin. And I know we've had a scourge of heroin deaths, bad heroin, increased the use of heroin in populations that never used it before. I know from talking to my colleagues around the country, we're not as bad as some states in terms of where this has happened, but this becomes a huge public health problem in terms of preventing use of drugs. And once people get hooked on them, we haven't really devised very good ways for getting people into recovery and making sure that they stay clean. We have a lot of work to do on that. It's a very expensive problem. It's heartbreaking for families who do have family members who become addicted, and it certainly increases what happens in our criminal justice side. But one of the things I'd like to see for people who, you know, become addicted to as early as possible, find ways to break that. I think we need some more research around it. We need more emergency beds for those who have recovery. I actually visited the Dimmock Health Center today in Boston. They have a great operation where someone comes in for recovery. They also do a physical exam and make a determination what else people need, but they only have 30 beds there, and there just aren't enough around the state. But it does go back to a problem that nobody's had a good answer to is, you know, how do people start using drugs? How do they get addicted in the first place? Because trying to resolve this recovery problem, we're not doing enough around it, and I think we need to do better in figuring out how to prevent drug addiction in the first place.
Okay. Yeah, we're speaking with Attorney General and gubernatorial candidate Martha Coakley. Any amazement as to so many candidates that are out there, it doesn't matter. Well, I mean, there's a couple who are running as Republicans. I think we have one or two who are independents, and there's a whole slew of people who are running for the Democratic nod. Are you surprised by this many folks who are getting involved with this race?
Well, I think it's a good sign in some ways. I think it's great we have a big field, and I think every time you do have basically an open seat, you know, Governor Patrick has said he's not going to seek re-election. Even in his re-election, there were three candidates, as we had an independent and a Republican. And I think that, you know, when good people are willing to put their hat in the ring and, you know, get ideas out there, I think everybody is well served. So at least in the Democratic primary, we've had a good active primary season so far. A lot of people haven't really turned into it yet, but we've had lots of debates and joint performances. We're all over the state. And I think it gives a chance for the state to, you know, test people out, try out their ideas, see whose experience and whose ideas they like. I think the state is better served when people have more choices.
Okay. I guess I would ask you another, you know, with us coming out of the winter now, one of the things that a lot of folks take a look at is our transportation, the need for road repairs. Give me your thoughts on if you are elected, some of the things you'd like to do in regards to transportation, maybe building an infrastructure to be able to kind of take care of our roads and bridges, the importance of stuff like that.
Sure. Well, this has been a tough winter. I know the traveling around I'm doing, you know, we've got the heat and the cold, and the roads are particularly tough with that kind of freezing and then melting, and so I think we're going to have a lot of repairs ahead. I know that part of what's happened in a very tough economy is that we probably haven't had the ability to maintain our roads and our bridges. That's a safety issue. It's something people expect government to do. We need to do it. And I also know that we're looking at where we go next in terms of if this economy continues to improve and we want businesses to grow. It means being able to provide better transportation. I know on the rail to the South Coast, it means better transportation to other parts of Massachusetts. And we need better transportation even within our urban areas or within our regional areas. We have some regional transportation authorities now that provide some bus service. But I think long-term, we need to work with each region in Massachusetts to see what kinds of infrastructure investments, not just maintaining what we have now, but what kind of investments do the businesses want, are they willing to support, that will really help us grow the economy. It's part of what makes it exciting about the next few years in Massachusetts, but I think we need to get our best and brightest at the table from our business sector, from people who plan and figure out what we want to do and how we'll be able to invest in it. And I think that, you know, we have a love affair with our cars here in Massachusetts. Mm-hmm. I know because I deal with them all the time trying to get in and out of Boston. We have heavy volume. People just today trying to travel on the turnpike or going on 93, and I know for people who come south into the city, the volume of traffic increases. Somebody said the other day that's a good sign because people are back to work, but it also means that we need some better planning and better investment in those kinds of infrastructure developments.
We had the mayor of Brockton on earlier, Bill Carpenter, who just got elected, and we were talking about the violence in the city of Brockton and what he's doing to with the new police commissioner, police chief, to stem crime and violence. What is your goal and aim and on public safety and gun control?
Well, you know, one of the issues on gun control is that we have very tough laws here in Massachusetts. We have very strong laws, and I think the problem we have is that too many guns come into the state that are purchased either legally in other states and then come in and are purchased illegally here or sold illegally here. And the other issue is that too many guns may be in the hands of people who aren't prepared or able to handle guns. You know, we have I think all of our urban areas have seen too many shootings. Too many guns have an impact in domestic violence cases also, but the issue on the streets in many of our major cities just increases violence when there's too many handguns there. We have not had a lot of good solutions at stopping the flow of illegal guns into the state, particularly where even in New England states it's easier to get guns. People can go to the South and do straw purchases and buy lots of guns. I know that you know, the new mayor in Boston, and I'm sure the new mayor in Brockton is going to work to try and identify those impact players, the people who are basically working often in selling drugs or sometimes, as we find, in human trafficking or other illegal activities, and they're going to use guns. And unless we can take those people and hold them accountable, charge them, get them off the streets, we're going to continue to see an increase in violence. And we worry about, obviously, violence in our streets, and we worry about also, as we've seen, with school shootings or school incidents, violence with people who come into schools, as we saw in Newtown, Connecticut, with an assault weapon that you can't buy in Massachusetts, but we need a ban, I believe, federally on those kinds of weapons for that concern. We also need better enforcement and better ways to keep illegal handguns away from folks who shouldn't have them.
I have to ask, what do you feel the next governor and the folks who are elected up on Beacon Hill can do to stimulate economic growth and help businesses be able to grow and be able to hire and increase our unemployment, drop our unemployment numbers as to where they're already at right now, what, maybe like 6.5-7% at this moment?
Well, and of course, we know we have jobs that are going empty right now, jobs unfilled, and we also have an unemployment rate. It's not necessarily the same population, but from what I can see, we need to do a couple of things. We need to make sure that we get rid of the barriers to competition. That includes things I've talked about, like reducing energy costs, reducing healthcare costs, looking at either regulatory or other barriers to business development. But the thing that I hear most from businesses is that they want to be able to hire a good workforce. And that goes to, I think, continuing to do as good a job as we can in our schools. People, I talked to one company who said they moved out of state because the energy costs were lower, but they moved back here because they wanted a workforce with a good eighth grade or high school education. We do have good schools here, and we do have people who are prepared to take those jobs. But a lot of the new jobs, whether it is, and I've said this, if you're working at one of the high-tech companies or you're working for National Grid, you're working with computers and computer science. And I think we have not prepared our kids in high school, our voc-tech schools, or junior colleges, nor are all our teachers prepared to give kids those skills that many of our jobs, whether it's healthcare industry or finance or construction jobs, are using more and more computer science. And so I think focusing on making sure we get businesses to come here and stay here and making sure that they have the employees that they need. And I think that just means, a lot of businesses will go into a school for a day. I think I've been encouraging our businesses as I talk to them, bring your high school principal and your superintendents into your businesses. Let them see what you expect of a high school graduate or someone who's got a voc-tech graduate. What do they need to do on their resumes? What are they going to need to be successful in the workplace, and make that connection so that our kids in Massachusetts today are going to have a chance to get those jobs. I guarantee that is our strongest suit here, is having a good workforce and making sure that we align it with what our businesses are going to need.
Again, we're speaking with Massachusetts Attorney General and gubernatorial candidate Martha Coakley. Is there something that we haven't asked or something that you want to take a moment to talk about in regards to your campaign for governor?
Well, I wanted to say it's been interesting to be able to travel around the state and talk to folks, as I said. But I hope that your listeners, too, will start to get engaged in the race. I can't stress this enough that, important elections are up ahead. The voters all have great choices. I hope they'll look at my candidacy and look at what I've been able to do as a district attorney and as attorney general and keeping people in their homes, suing big banks, making sure that we prevent unnecessary foreclosures. We have done a lot of work on trying to keep kids safe in schools. So this is a critical time for Massachusetts, and we will get we have a lot of good candidates, as you've mentioned, Kevin.
Yep.
And so it's going to be up to voters to make those choices.
Well, we want to welcome you to come back on hopefully before September to kind of give us an update as to where things stand in the race. And with some of the caucuses that are ongoing and some of the things that you're hearing from the folks.
Well, I look forward to it, Kevin, and it's great to chat with you tonight and with your two companions there.
You have yourself a great evening, and we'll look forward to talking to you again real soon.
Thank you, everybody. Bye-bye.
You got it. Well, Richard, I want to thank you as well as Joe. Great job. We want to thank Bill Carpenter, Dave Edelman, and, of course, the Attorney General, Martha Coakley. That's another Monday Night Talk up next. South Shore Live. Stay tuned to 95.9 WATD.